Concerning spiritual gifts, we read through chapter 12 and we studied some of it. We looked at some of the principles of the Holy Spirit through chapter 12. You have a sheet in your worship folder that reminds us kind of some of the places where we've been. We looked at how the Holy Spirit was given to us by both Jesus and the Father, promised to us. We saw how spiritual gifts were given to every believer by God, given to the believer for their gifts of His grace. That's what the word means. It's a charis, His gifting, His love for us, given to every believer, given to the to build up the church, build up the body. Each part is important to build up for the common good. And that spiritual gifts were given to grow the church, both numerically, but mostly in maturity in our faith. And then I shared with you some of the different views on spiritual gifts, a cessationist view where they believe that most of the miraculous gifts, if not all the spiritual gifts, have ceased in a way that each of us have a specific gift. The Spirit is still at work, and God is still powerful, but the gift's not given directly to an individual, that was more for the apostolic time. A cautious view where spiritual gifts are given and available to us today, but we have to be very discerning and careful how they're used because of some abuse. A charismatic view where all the spiritual gifts are available, and even a second blessing where the Spirit would be baptized, and gifts would be manifested. And a continuationist view where it's not a second blessing, but the Holy Spirit just keeps coming in waves of strength and blessing and continues to strengthen the body. So those are, and within those four views, there's different people fall on the different spectrums as well. I'm trying not to state my view as much, but I know it comes through. I want to state clearly some of the dangers and some of the positions we don't have as a church from the teaching that as the elders are protectors of our vision and the scriptures. But some of that will come out today as well. And I've given provided some resources, further resources on that purple sheet, and actually made some copies of some articles from what's called the Gospel Coalition. And emailed them and asked for permission to copy two articles, one, why I am a cessationist, and another, why I am a continuationist, so why I believe the spiritual gifts and miraculous ones have ceased, and another theologian, why I believe they're still here, they're continuing. And you can free to pick them up there by the table, the service ministry table, next to the food shelf. I shared a word last week with you that you helped me out. So I preached, we went from 1 Corinthians 12, on the spiritual gifts, why they're here, what's the biblical teaching on them, and then went from that to the chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13. And now we go back to gifts. Why would Paul put this chapter on love right in the smack of the middle? Why didn't he just continue and put chapter 14 right after and continue his teaching on the spiritual gifts? The reason is because the chapter on love is not about marriage, even though we use it for wedding ceremonies, and it's applicable for marriages. The reason why is because that's how the gifts are the greatest. It's not about when he says, let me show you the greater gifts, and today he talks about pursue the greater gifts. It's not about one gift being greater than another. It's about how the gifts are being used, how they are being manifested, how they are being worked throughout the body. And the most excellent, the greater gifts that we'll hear today are the gifts that excel in building up the church. And so it could be any gift that is used in a way that is being building up the church and pointing people to Christ is a greater gift. You see the emphasis change? So it's not on the gift itself, it's on how it's being used. And then Paul says, now let me show you the greatest way, and that is love. If the gifts are not used in love, they have nothing. And so that's why that chapter was so powerful, and I spent a long time on it. And it was kind of a test case to see how loving you were with me. And you were very good. You were very patient. Because it was a long message and you stayed with me. Now you maybe went and said something to somebody else afterwards. But with me during the time, you were very patient. And you are also very kind, because I was struggling with a certain word, didn't know how to pronounce it, didn't know what it meant, and then you shouted it out to me, and you helped me out. You remember what that word was? Tertiary. And you kind of got to have a little saliva in there when you say it. Tertiary. And tertiary, so I studied it more. You were right. Yeah, thank you. It's of a third value or a third rank or a third importance. In other words, it's not of first importance. It's not even of second importance. And I don't know how you get from second to third, but it's of a third importance, a third rank. And so one of those authors, those theologians, says, I disagree with my brother on these, but we love each other. I disagree on a tertiary, a third ranking thing, but we agree on what's first important. So I thought I'd start the message reminding us of what is first important. Because Paul, and we're going to get to study this in a couple weeks, says it very clearly in 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to turn there, you can, but you can listen to me. This is what he says. Here's what is of first importance. This is what is of most importance. For I received, what did I receive which was of first importance? That Christ came, he lived, he died, and he rose again, and he appeared to us. That's the gospel. This is what is of first importance, that Jesus Christ came, that God loves us so much, he sent his Son, and Christ lived for us, and he died for our sin, and he has the power over sin, and he has the power over the grave, and he has resurrection life to give to us. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That is of first importance. We are, first of all, people of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can talk about how we are regarding the gifts and say that, but number one, we are people of the Lord. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are Christians, Christ ones. And of first importance, Paul says it very clearly in each of these chapters. He mentions it, and then 13, he just pours it out on us. Do it in love. Excel in love. Let me show you the most excellent way in chapter 12, verse 31. And then all of 13, the way is love. And then in 14, follow, look at me with me, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Here's the key verse to where we're headed today. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, both. So now we as believers of God's word look at that and say, how am I following the way of love and desiring the spiritual gifts? Of first importance is the gospel. We are people of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of first importance is love. If we can't do it in love, then let's not do it. Do it in love. We are people of love. Of first importance is grace. We could go through this. It's part of the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. He begins it, and we are people of grace. Of first importance is God's word. Again, it just speaks to it clearly in this passage, in throughout this letter, 1 Corinthians 7:19. Keeping God's commands is what counts. No matter what all these other issues of food to idols and circumcision and all these things, keeping God's command is what counts, he says. We are people of the Word. We are people of the Spirit. God has given us His Spirit. It's very clear. Jesus has many teachings on the Holy Spirit. He has given us His gifts. We are people of the Spirit. Those are first importance. Those are first important values. Now, how that gets worked out within the manifestation of the gifts? Tertiary. Tertiary. But it's still important how we do it, and we do it in love. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Another passage on the spiritual gifts that will validate these important aspects, these first importance. Ephesians 4, verse 11, Paul is writing about how Jesus ascended, his ascension. He wasn't there, but the other disciples were there. The other apostles were there. It was very important. It's what I read at the beginning of the service in Acts chapter 1. Not only had he ascended, but he descended. And so he went, he came down here, and now he says, so now this, he who ascended and who had descended, Christ himself has given us these gifts. It is Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. It is Christ himself who gave to us his Spirit. It is Christ himself who gives us the gifts. Some for this, some for that. Everybody has gifts. Some have certain gifts. Others have other gifts. And then he lists some of those gifts. But why? So that we can, verse 12, equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ, us as a church, may be built up until we all reach unity in faith in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature and attaining the whole measure, the fullness of Christ. We want His fullness. We want the fullness of Jesus Christ. We want to be fully mature. We don't want to be infants any longer. We were all infants in our faith at one point. We were all babies. We all just knew a little bit. That's okay. It's okay to be an infant. It's okay to be a baby. Grow up. It's not okay to be a baby at 50. Okay? It's time to grow up, full up to Him. We want that fullness. We want the full maturity. We want to look like Christ. We want to look like Christ's body, Christ's church together. And so this passage reminds us of the importance of the spiritual gifts given to us to equip the church with the spiritual gifts. And so today we look at this, 1 Corinthians 14. Look at it closely with me today and see how we can understand. We'll only look at half the chapter and we may not even get through all of that. We'll pick it up next week. And there's a problem in this church. There's a couple of problems in the Corinthian church because it's a young church. It just has started. There's some immaturity in the church. That's okay. There always will be. You see immaturity in me sometimes. And you have the freedom to say to me, grow up. Be more mature in your faith. That's okay. That's part of the training, the body. And so in the church, they had mistakes. They had immaturity. They had things that were where Paul corrects them. It's corrective theology. He says, I'm writing to you about this. I'm writing to you, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm writing to you about how you're having communion. You need to correct it. Because when you come together for communion, you're not celebrating the Lord's body. You're more concerned about yourself than other people. And see, that's a common theme throughout this. You're more concerned about who you are and what you believe and what you want and what you need than you are about the body. And so here he's saying you're coming together and it's chaotic. Your worship service is chaotic. There's things that are going on that are just out of order, and it's not benefiting the church. And when unbelievers come in, they go, what is this? This doesn't make sense. And so we'll look at that specifically next week. But he's saying the way in which you are using the gifts, he still values the gifts, including prophecy and tongues in this passage. But he says the way you're using them, you're not using them to build up the body. You're not strengthening each other. You're not encouraging one another. So follow the way of love and eagerly desire these gifts. This passage will talk. He uses the illustration of prophecy and tongues. He uses those. It's not a... This message will not even come close to being a definitive word on what are the tongues about and what is prophecy about. He uses as examples, but the point is not about those gifts. The focus is on the Word of God gives us, teaches us that we have been given gifts and we're called to desire gifts and we are called to build the church up with the gifts. So the main issue is not tongues. The main issue is not prophecy. The main issue is the E word, edify. Edify. It's a word that they would use in architect back in the day. Build it up. Make it stronger. The apostles laid the foundation, the Word of God. We have everything we need in that foundation. Now build it up. Live it. Teach it. Strengthen. Get stronger. And use the gifts to do that, to build up. That was my time out. And so we just build up the church by examining. How do we do this? We examine the purpose of the gifts, we look closely at the problems of the gifts, and we also see the power of the gifts, okay? Purpose, problems, and power. Father, help me. Help us to be listeners of your word, readers and hearers of your word. Help us to learn not only how to read it and hear it, but how to apply it into our lives. May the words of my mouth right now be acceptable and pleasing to you, God. I hope they're pleasing to the body here, but my main concern is that they're pleasing to you. My words, the words of my mouth, the meditations on my heart, the study from my mind, be acceptable and pleasing to you. Unify us, strengthen us, build us up so that we can become the individual people you want us to be and the church that you want us to be, the church of Jesus Christ. And so study with me as we look through this passage. The first, examining the purpose of the gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, I've read that to you. He says, especially desire the gift of prophecy, For those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people, but they speak to God. So right there we have a difficulty with understanding what's the definition of tongues. And there are two different ways in which the word tongues, it's languages, that's what it means, the word means, languages being spoken. There's one in Acts 2 where they were able to speak a language and the people were able to hear it and they go, wow, this is happening in my own language. And they are speaking, what were they speaking? If you read Acts chapter 2, you'll see they were speaking the wonders of God. They were speaking the miraculous, the power, they were talking about God. And they were talking about it in a way that they heard it in their own language. Some say it wasn't the gift of tongues. They say it was the gift of hearing. But somehow the disciples were speaking about the wonders of God, and God brought in this beautiful gift of tongues so that they could understand it in their language. That's speaking to people. Paul says in this passage, those of you who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people, but you speak to God. And so there's another aspect of interpretation of tongues that is, it's a language, it's still a language, needs to be intelligible, it's a language, but it's a heavenly type of language, it's a language that I'm speaking and I'm praying to God. I'm praying somehow in the Spirit, I am praying with groans, I am praying and the Spirit I'm praying with tears, I'm praying and the Spirit is interceding on my behalf. But I'm not doing it for the edification of the body. That's okay. If all of a sudden somebody just starts in this worship service crying, praying quietly, they are worshiping God. That's okay. Paul says, I have the gift of tongues. I wish you all had it, but you don't. But use it in a way that's appropriate. Use it in a way that builds up the body. And if you're going to speak a word, make sure if it's in a tongue that there's an interpreter. So what was happening in the day was very much chaotic. So keep going. God, indeed, no one understands them. And they utter mysteries by the Spirit. But those who prophesy speak to people for their strengthening, their encouragement, their comfort. Right there is the key to this first point. What are the purpose of the spiritual gifts? To strengthen, encourage, and comfort. I've just given you E words so you can help me remember them. Edify, build up the body. Encourage, speak a word of encouragement to somebody today. Exalt, speak something about Jesus Christ. Speak something that brings us closer together and lifts us up into His presence. Excel, and He'll say that again. He'll say, excel in these gifts that focus on the body of Christ, that build them up. In 1 Corinthians 12, when we read that, we saw these prophecy in tongues in a list of 9 gifts. And at the end, he says, eagerly desire them, but make sure you do it in the way. Chapter 12, verse 31, eagerly desire these greater gifts. And now I'll show you the most excellent way, the way of love. And now he picks that up in 14. Eagerly desire these spiritual gifts, but do it in love. It's not so much that it's tongues or prophecy that he's talking about, but he says those who speak in a tongue, they edify, they're glorifying God. It's about themselves. But those who prophesy edify the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, he says in verse 5. But I would rather have you prophesy. Those who prophesy are greater than those who speak in tongues, unless they be interpreted so that the church may be edified. Keeps going. The theme just keeps going. If you're using your gift to build up the church, then it is the greatest gift. See, it's not about, because he already told us, it's not about, is a hand more important than a foot? Is an eye more important than an ear? Is a nose? It's not about the gift. It's about how they are being used. Use it in a way that you will make that gift that God has given you valuable, successful, whatever word you want to put in there, beneficial, probably the best word, if you use it for the greater good of the body, the common good of the body, for the purpose. And if it's done in love, the greater gifts are the ones who are being used to build up the body, and they are being demonstrated out of love. I'm concerned about how my gift is being exercised here because I'm thinking about you. I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about, is it pleasing to God, number one, and is it encouraging to the body? So those of you that feel this strong view yes, the gifts are still here. I have a gift. You have a gift. Then take that gift and use it for the body. Make sure that it's being built up. It's building up the body. Make sure that it's in agreement with the Scripture, in agreement with our Lord and Savior. Those of you that feel like gifts have ceased, that the actual gift giving is, then do this. Holy Spirit, help me however you want today. to speak words of encouragement, to build up. Let the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, God. Spirit, we're going to have trouble if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. That's where we'll have division. If you don't believe the miraculous gifts are still today, we're okay. We can get along. We can worship together. We can love one another. We can have conversations. I've been having some conversations with people about this, some of the people who are cessationists in our own body, and it's been beneficial. Have conversations with people. Find somebody who has a different view than you. Read those articles. Think, why? So you can convince somebody your view? No, that's not loving. So that you can grow in your position, you can understand, and you have a conversation with someone, you're most likely not going to change their mind, they're most likely not going to change your mind, but what's going to happen is, number one, you're going to have a better understanding of what your view, think, oh, this is why I believe it, because I've been sharing with people. But number one, really, the most important thing is, you're going to go away saying, you know what, we're a lot closer in this than what I thought. We're a lot more unified in this than what I thought. Because we love Jesus Christ, and we love each other, and we're working toward the common good. We're not trying to have an argument or a debate here. We're trying to figure out how to live God's word together. Purpose of the gifts is to build up the body, strengthen, encourage, edify the common good. This is the main teaching of it. And so we ask the questions, is my gift? See, me, and I've already shared this with you, so I'm not, again, trying to point my view on you. I'm trying to get you to be students of the Word of God, be in the Word of God, and mature as God grows you. For me, I'm a believer in all the gifts that they have continued. I don't believe in some type of second blessing. And if you have this sense like, no, we need a second baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need something else, then we're going to have problems. Because that means we're not people of grace. That you have something that I don't have. That you have a work, that you've worked something, that you have a special thing, that you've got something that not only do I have faith, we've been saved by grace, through our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not a works. And so it's not something else I do that I work up. There's no other blessing that we need than Jesus Christ. We've been given everything we need. But I continue with the gifts. But I'm a cautious person. And so as a cautious person, I have to look at those and say, why is Paul stretching me? Why is he saying eagerly desire it? Why is he saying earnestly desire? Why is he saying go after the gifts? Why is he telling me? Because I don't want to, what 1 Thessalonians talks about, what Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. I don't want to say, no, just give me a little bit, Holy Spirit. Just give me a little bit of your grace, a little bit of your strength today, a little bit, a small gift, so I don't disrupt anything, don't cause any kind of, I just want a taste of you. Give me the fullness. Give me the fullness of maturity in Jesus Christ. Bring the gift. But I'm cautious, you see. And so I have to look at it and say, God, what do you want to teach me about eagerly desiring the spiritual gifts that encourage and comfort and edify? And I'll tell you one thing that I believe he's teaching me already. Take your mind off yourself. It's not about you. It's about the church. Are you loving the church? Are you teaching God's word to the church? Are you using your gift of teaching in a way that is done in love, edifies the body, and exalts Christ? So we ask these questions. Is the exercise of my gift today in this setting, this worship setting, because that's a very key part of this passage. It's happening in church. It's not happening in a prayer group. It's not happening here on a mission trip. It's not happening there. It's happening in a worship service. Is this exercise of my gift in this setting purposely being used to build up, strengthen, encourage, or comfort somebody? Is this exercise of my gift in this setting purposely going to equip somebody? Is it going to encourage an individual? Is the exercise of my gift in the setting going to exalt Jesus Christ? Is it going to draw people to Him so that they see God's glory? Let our church, let our gifts edify the body by purposely using our gifts. Now, I think part of the problem where we have the division is in how we define the gifts. So I want to look at the problems here real quickly with you this morning. And then the last point is it's easy to preach. It's easy to try to figure out how to apply it. It is the power of the gifts is anytime where I do encourage you or strengthen or care about you or love you, build you up, it's a good thing. And it's by the Holy Spirit's power. And anytime Jesus Christ is exalted and glorified, that's a good thing. Then I know that the gifts are being used in the right way. You see, why does this message matter to us as a church? Why does this, these passages and these teaching on the spiritual gifts matter to us in the church? Because if we don't study and understand the concept of the spiritual gifts, we will fall into the trap of our culture, which is consumerism. And will Jesus just be about us? Well, that worship service wasn't, I mean, the service, the pastor went long, he was kind of boring, didn't have a funny story. Well, that word, I didn't like that song. Why'd you do that new song? You know, I don't know that song. You know, that hymn, that chorus, that thing. Why did you do that? Why did you let the kids play with those bulletins, you know, while we were worshiping? You know, couldn't you tell them to be quiet? You know, it's like we're not focused on each other or Christ. We're focused on ourselves. And we will be stunted in our growth if we don't allow the Spirit to work in us. And Jesus Christ will not be exalted in our midst if we just go by our selfish strengths and ourself and our, what we bring, our sufficiency. Go through the grocery store. What kind of cereal do I want? Oh, I like this. I like this. Oh, what kind of gift do I want? Oh, I like the prophecy. I don't like tongues. That's too scary. Oh, I don't like. I like teaching. Oh, I don't like hospitality. That means I got to have people over my house. Let me see. Oh, I don't like giving. Ooh, yeah. He's got to give that gift to somebody else. And so that consumer approach of the gifts has gotten the church into a problem. But the consumer approach of saying, I'm going to use this gift so that you see how good I look. You see, it's about me. I'm going to use my gift and exercise it so that you go, wow, that was a really good teaching today, Pastor. Really good. Pastor, teacher, really good. Wow, you were good today. God is good. God is exalted. God is worshipped. God works. God moves. His Spirit, His Son, Jesus, the Word, that's our focus. That's why we need, because we can't do it on our own strength. And so quickly examine with me some of the problems here in verses 6 through 11. You'll see it's disruption, it's confusion, it's division. That's not what the church is about. And Paul's trying to correct it. That's what the Corinthian church. Verse 6, now brothers and sisters, if I come to you and I speak in tongues, and Paul already told us he does, what good will it be to you unless I bring some revelation, some knowledge, some prophecy, some word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or the harp, even in the sense of I might play some instruments up here today, I might play with somebody's toys, even if I do this, or I play on the guitar, or I play on the keyboard, even if I do that, well, I love the banjo. Ooh, let me pick up that banjo. Please, Alan, can I pick up the banjo? It's like, if I just do that, but nobody's on the same note, everybody's just doing, what good is it? It has to have some intelligibility, it has to have some order, it has to have some purpose, bringing it together. If everybody just came up and played their instrument the way they wanted to play, and one played this song, one played that, say, well, I didn't like this song, so let me flip the place, let me start doing this song. It's confusion, it's disorder. And so Paul is saying, if I come to you and I just speak in tongues, but I don't bring you some type of knowledge, some type of something that you can understand, what good is it? I love that question. What good will I be to you? What if, see, what if the church asked that? What if each one of us came to where we come Sunday morning or came Wednesday night or small group? What if the first thing we ask is, what good can I be today? How can I pray for somebody today? How can I use the gift that God's given me to encourage somebody today? What if every time you came and said, oh, I don't know, it's like the songs, it wasn't about that, it was about what you could do, what you could bring to the table, what you could bring to the glory of God. How much difference would it make? Some people say, well, experience is not about experience. Yes, it is. There's experience. What if those of you who have experienced difficult pregnancies, you knew the problem of it, you knew the difficulty, you knew the hardship of it. What if you prayed for Dina Miller? You see how the difference is? Because you have that experience. What if those of you that have been on mission trips, who have gone through hiccups, what if you started praying for Anita right now about those hiccups? Because you've had that experience, you've known it. You are going to be able to speak into it so much more because of what God is doing in you and because of your experience. Bring them together. When Pete got cancer, he didn't call me first. Who did he call first besides talking to his family, besides talking to his bride? Who'd he call first? Shorty. You see what I'm saying? When we get into it, we understand God has brought you to where you are at for a certain purpose, and he has gifted you with certain gifts, and so you take your gift, you take your experience, and you bring it to the body for the greater good. Lift up the body, exalt the Christ, and edify and strengthen the body. And he's saying, what good will this be? Oh, I would love for us to just say, what good can I be today, God? What good can I be as we study your word? What good can I be as I work in the nursery? What good can I be as I sing on the worship team? What good can I be as I bring refreshments? What good can I be as I clean up in here and I vacuum and I wash, clean the windows? And we had a great cleaning team this past week. I could list a dozens of them, but I won't because it's just I'll miss somebody. But just thank you for how you share your gift no matter what it is. It builds up the body. But there was misuse going on here. He says again, what about the trumpet? If the trumpet sounds a clear call, will you get ready for battle? But if the trumpet just goes, what is that? But if the trumpet goes, charge! Oh, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what that call is about. What's it about? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You'll just be speaking into air. Undoubtedly, there's all kinds of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. You just don't understand it. I don't know. If Ryan hadn't told me what that meant on the screen, I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have known how to speak Ojibwe. Was I edified in it because I didn't know it? Yes. Why? Because he interpreted it for me. He helped me understand it. He gave it to me. Undoubtedly, there's all kinds of languages. None of them was without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I'm a foreigner to the speaker. A speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. He says, when I pray in my spirit. Verse 4:15. But I also pray with my understanding. When I sing with my spirit. But I also sing with my understanding. And so the problems are misunderstanding, unintelligible words, self-edification, the lack of the common good, unintelligible sounds that had no meaning, unfruitful use of the gifts, a lack of community, caring for the common good, confusion, especially among unbelievers. Verse 23, we'll get to that next week. And disorder next week. We'll get to those next week. Unbelievers came in and go, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's confusing to me. I don't know what's happening in here. So let me bring an illustration from our Nepal trip. When I've been on mission trips, I've seen the gifts of the Spirit used in many ways, positive, negative. It's not about my experience. My experience teaches me things. I have to go to the authority of the Word. And the authority of the Word is do it in unity. But now when I was in Nepal and when we were at the worship service, I kept asking our interpreter, what's happening? What are they saying? What are they praying about? What's he teaching on? What just happened? It was unintelligible to me. They weren't speaking in tongues that I know of, but how would I know? Because they may be speaking Tibetan or Nepali. I didn't understand the language. But I understood that God was there. And I knew that God was working. And I knew that God was moving. Because I'm discerning and I'm praying. God, is this of you? God, what's taking place? God, how can I enter into this? What do you want for me to do? How can I use my gift in this place right now? And so when we were in worship, and I lean over to the interpreter and say, what just happened? What's he talking about? You see, because Paul says, if you're singing a song that's unintelligible, that I don't understand the words, how can I say amen to that? But guess what? They sing some of the same songs that we sing in a different language, but the tune is the same. So all of a sudden, oh, I know that song. I can say amen to that song. I can be a part of that. But if I don't know the words, how can I say amen to that? If you pray in a language that I don't know, how can I say amen to that? So what did I do? I asked the interpreter, what are they praying about right there? What's happening? He says, the young man accepted Christ, and his wife isn't a believer. And there's, help me out, Russ. There's a problem in the family. There's ostracizing. There was like, they weren't happy that he became a Christian. And now his bride has come, his wife has come into the setting, and she's trying to understand the church and understand the message of the gospel. Well, I can pray about that. And someone was sick, right? Who was sick? his father. And to remember, Zach, do you remember his wife? What she looked like? She was like confused, not sure what's happening in this place because the message was new to her. But she was being engaged. She was like, I want this. I want a part of this. I want to know. I want my father to be healed. I want to know what happened with my husband. I can say amen to that. I can join in with that. I can be a part of that. I can come and pray for them. I can pray that Christ be exalted in this, that God strengthen this young husband. I can pray for this young bride who doesn't understand Christ. I can say amen to that. And so I look around and I see what's happening, and I'm asking questions, and I'm discerning, and I'm watching, and there's things that are happening, and I want to be a part of it. And I hear people praying, and I don't understand, what are they praying about? I hear a song, what are they singing about? Help me be a part of it. Help people be a part of what we got here. Strength to look around and see, that maybe was confusing, what just happened. Help them understand it. Help them understand what we're talking about. Lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And when we're worshiping, and all of a sudden they're praying, and I'm going, oh yeah, I know the character of this pastor. I know the character of these people. I know what's going on here. And I'm saying amen to it, and I'm joining them in worship, even if I don't speak the language. And I'm joining them in the Word of God, and I'm building them up with the Word of God, and I'm teaching the Word of God because they are side by side with us. And so let's be a church that's like that, that goes beyond the problems and the difficulty and exercises in our way, that builds up the body, that doesn't tear down, that doesn't confuse, and use our gifts in a way that is done in love, bringing it. You see the word disrupt? I didn't use my dictionary this week. Disrupt. To interrupt the unity. God, I don't ever want to interrupt the unity. I don't ever want to interrupt what you're doing, Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to quench you. So prophecy. I had all this material here. I don't even know where it went. Oh, look at that. That's another Holy Spirit thing, I think, because I can't find my book. I had all these definitions I wanted to give you of tongues, prophecy, different things. Here's what people get confused. They get confused with the office of the prophet. There are no more prophets. They were Old Testament. There are no more apostles. Those who saw the risen Christ. Those offices are gone. But the gift of prophecy, of speaking a word that matches up God's word. So when Ryan was in that restaurant and that woman had that word for him, I believe that God is telling me this. Match it up with Scripture. Did it match Scripture? That we should give to other people? Did she follow it up with her actions? See, prophecy doesn't. If you believe that prophecy is a new revelation from God that should be added to the Word of God, then we're going to have difficulty, because we have everything we need in His authoritative Scripture. That was not an authoritative, infallible word that she spoke to Ryan. But what it was the Spirit working in her life and her being obedient to what the Spirit was calling her to do. We can struggle about the definition. Is that prophecy or not? But let's not. Let's not go there. Instead, let's go to the place where the Spirit of God is working in every individual, and you're being obedient to what God has called you to be. I'm being obedient to what God has called me to be, God had called me to do, and I'm doing it in love. So much more I could say about it, and I'll speak more on these next week, some of these definitions and some of the problems. We just touched on some of the problems. We need to touch on them more. But listen to the final word here in verse 25. You see, if people are coming into your midst, into your worship service, if there's an unbeliever, verse 24, or inquirer who comes in, and everybody's just prophesying, they're teaching, and he'll tell us how to do that, how that's supposed to be exercised in a church service, they actually may be convicted of a sin, convinced, brought under judgment. The secrets of their heart may be laid bare. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is working, because we're speaking God's word. And they may exclaim among you, God is really among you. You see, the power of the gifts is when the people of God are faithful in exercising their gift. The power of the gift is the church is being built up. Especially in a corporate worship service where there's mature believers, we will focus on evangelism, that people will come to know Christ, edifying the body, strengthening one another, and exalting Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. We are about evangelizing so people, unbelievers who come with us, know who Jesus is, edifying, building up the church, and exalting Jesus Christ. Those are first importance. And what if, when we were teaching God's Word, when we were singing worship songs, when we were doing all of this because the Spirit was leading us to it, and we were doing it in love, we were doing it biblically, we were doing what God was doing, calling us to do, calling us to be, what if someone actually looked and came in and said, I see God in this. I see God in their midst. I see God in their presence. And they come down and fall down and worship with us. What if the Word of God, the Spirit of God was powerful and present in the teaching? What if He was present in our prayers? What if He was present in the calling that we have to repentance, to forgiveness, to grace, to eternal life? What if the Holy Spirit fully showed up? That'd be a good service. That'd be an honoring service. And so the worship team's going to close us with a song that says, everything, with everything we have, we're going to shout for praise. Why? So that every eye will see. And in this song, it says, we want every eye to see Jesus, our God. We want every eye to see Jesus, our God. We want everyone to be built up in the body of Christ. Because the whole theme throughout 1 Corinthians is for the good of others and the glory of God. For the good of others, we want them to see Jesus. We want them to know Jesus. We don't want to interrupt the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. We want them to be worshipers with us. Let our worship. I remember we used to have a man who would pray and he would fall on his face in prayer. Just praying on the floor. That was his way of praying. That's distracting. Don't focus on him. Focus on the cross. But be concerned about everybody and then follow your gift. Follow the way of love and use the gift that God's given you. God has blessed you. You are important to this church. We need you. This church needs you. This community needs you, what you have, the gift that you have. We can't do it in our own. These people in this church, they need you. They need you to love God and they need you to take the gift that He's given you and use it for His glory, for His kingdom, for His purpose. God, please help us to be a people solidly standing on your word, who love our Lord and Savior, who love your word and love your Spirit, and are open to having your Spirit work in and through us for your kingdom's glory. Build us up, strengthen us, so that everyone can see Jesus.